Ishvari's conversation with Narottama on Bhakti Ratnakara. Ishvari narrated all the incidents which had occurred in Vrindavan to Narottama and Ramchandra. She also inquired from them about the well-being of the devotees of Goda. Unfortunately, Narottam could not reply to her question. He could only cry. Ramchandra then explained that over a very short period of time, some of the beloved disciples of Mahaprabhu had disappeared from the world. Those who remained alive kept themselves in complete seclusion from other people. Sri Ishvari commented anxiously that if this was the condition in Kateri, things must be worse throughout Goda. Did the Lord want to fill the world with darkness? And she wept sadly. In the evening, the Vaishnavas all assembled in the courtyard of Gauranga Mahandir to observe the Sandhya Artik. When the Nam Sankirtan, their sorrows were somewhat mitigated. They passed 1/6 of the night in Sankirtan and then retired to their houses. Ramchandra brought them Mahaprasad, and although they had no appetite, they ate it gladly. Sri Ishvari drank a glass of milk. Because they were tired from their long journey, they all went to bed. Narottam and Ramchandra returned to their houses, and Sri Govinda Kaviraj took the opportunity to report the various messages the Goswamis of Vrindavan had given him for Narottam. He had carefully carried the book Gopal Virudavali from Vrindavan, and he dutifully handed it over to Narottam, who in turn gave it to Ramchandra. Narottam thereafter sent letters to Kardaha and Jajigram relating all the incidents associated with the Sri Ishvari's trip to Vrindavan. Sri Janava Devi stayed in Kateri for 3 or 4 days. Sri Govinda Kaviraj and some of his associates went to Budari in advance, for Sri Ishvari planned to leave the next morning with Narottam and Ramchandra. Sri Janavi Devi stayed at Kateri for 3 or 4 days. Sri Govinda Kaviraj and some of his associates went to Budari in advance, for Sri Ishvari planned to leave the next morning with Narottam. After finishing her routine morning duties, Sri Ishvari went to the courtyard of the Gauranga temple and observed Sri Gauranga Balabi Kanta and other deities and offered her respectful obeisances. The Mahansas also took leave of the deities. Narottam and Ramchandra gave instructions about who would care for the deities in their absence. Sri Shantosh brought many gifts for Janava Devi, and she thereafter left Kateri and the bank of Padmavati. Sri Ishvari crossed the river and was met by a huge crowd that had come from Budari to receive her. She blessed the people affectionately and then went to her house. Vamsidas and others busied themselves in household duties. Sri Ishvari smilingly told Shamdas Chakravarti, the brother of Sri Vamsi, that he would have to fulfill a desire of hers. Shamdas did not reply but left immediately and went to his house. He was an ordinary man and he brooded over her statement. What did he possess to fulfill her request? He fell asleep thinking about his predicament, and in his dream he got an instruction to give his daughter in marriage to Bharu Gangadas. Within his dream he gladly gave her, and the Vaishnavas appreciated her for that. When he woke up he was so perturbed that although it was early morning, he went immediately to see Ishvari and told her everything that had occurred in the dream. Sri Janava was very happy and at once took responsibility for the marriage. Sri Ishvari called Gangadas and told him that he should marry the daughter of Shamdas. All the arrangements had been completed and today he should marry her without any hesitation. Gangadas had no desire to marry, yet he could not disobey the order of Sri Ishvari and he felt quite disturbed. The daughter of Shamdas Chakravarti was Himalata, a girl with a sweet disposition and a fair complexion. Bala Gangadas was also a nice-looking man who was a very great devotee with the effulgent presence. On that day, he married Himalata. After the marriage, Sri Ishwari gave custody of the deity Shyam Roy to Gangadas, but Gangadas was again anxious, for he did not know how he would arrange the bhoga offerings for the deity. Shyam Roy himself appeared in Gangadas' dream and assured him that he would accept anything his devotee would arrange. Gangadas told Ishwari about his dream and happily arranged bhoga for the Lord. In this way, Bara Gangadas dedicated himself to the service of Shyam Roy. That's for household deity, you see. Krishna accepts whatever you can do. After the wedding, Sri Ishwari Narottam, Ramchandra and Govinda left Budari and headed for Ekachakra in Radhadesh. Ekachakra is where Lord Nityananda grew up. When Sri Ishwari saw Ekachakra in the far distance, she felt a surge of emotion. Even Krishnadas Sarakela, Gauranga Sundara, Madhavacharya, Balaram, Mahidara, Murari, Chaitanya, Krishnadas, Nishinga, Sri Kanai, Damodar, Raghupati, Vaija, Upadhyaya Manohar, Sri Parameshwari Das, Sri Nakari Das, Sri Mukunda, and others began to cry with emotion. The road on which the pilgrim traveled was shaded by peepal trees and with deep cool shadows, and the breezes through the trees mitigated the fatigue of the travelers. We have those peepal trees in this city. And they're all over television.
Yeah, it's old banyans.
It's a type of banyan. They have the leaf has like a tail on it, long tail.
Is there no point to light in my television? They're called banyan.
Yeah, it's a type of banyan. Vrindavan is called peepal. Very auspicious tree.
Yeah.
The road was traveled with shaded. As they passed along the pleasant road, Sri Ishwari and the orders suddenly felt very happy, but they could not understand why. In their joyful state of mind, they met a Brahmin on the way to Ekachakra. He was very old and he walked with the aid of a stick. He approached them slowly and then waited under a tree, looking here and there, wondering where all the Vaishnavas had come from. Although he did not ask them anything, the Vaishnavas bowed to him and asked him to make his seat beneath the tree. They politely inquired from him why Ekachakra seemed to be only ruins, although they had heard it was a large town. What was the cause of the decay? The Brahmin replied that it was certainly true that Ekachakra had been a famous place for a long time. It had originally been the home for the Pandavas, where they had killed many wicked Rakshasas and Asuras. It had also been a famous place of pilgrimage because of its many deities and temples. The temple of Ekachakra Shiva and Parvati had been here, and many other deities such as Ganesh had been worshipped here. But due to the influence of Kali, the deities had all gone to the bottom of the river. Previously, the river had been very wide and was lined on both sides by trees, plants, and flowering creepers. There had also been bees, butterflies, and various kinds of singing birds, as well as non-violent animals in the forest. No one knew who originally established the village of Ekachakra, but within its precincts, the four castes of Hindu society had lived peacefully. Previously, the village was inhabited by wealthy people who had devotional and religious leanings. They were also scholars of different shastras who studied and taught there. Although these scholars, among was a great astrologer who had prophesied that Ekachakra village would be the residence of God himself, for Lord Balaram would appear there. The astrologer lamented that his own life would be too short and he would not be able to see the appearance of the Lord. Many other astrologers examined his evidence and agreed with it. Sri Nityananda's family. In Ekachakra lived a pious Brahmana who was famous because of his title Oja. He was a wealthy man but had affection for his yajamanas and on his, who performed worship on his behalf. His wife was a lady of sweet disposition, but she was unhappy because she had no child, although she was able to bear children. Each of the children died at the time of birth. At last she got a son who was born in a very auspicious moment. The Oja felt both happy and sad simultaneously and dedicated his only son to the mercy of Parvati, Shankar, Shiva, and Durga. He and his wife analyzed the fate of their son, and out of dissatisfaction they named him Haro. But others in the village kept different sweet names for the child and would often visit Oja's house to see the nice child. Day by day, the child grew into a beautiful boy. Oja performed a ceremony which celebrates the time that a Hindu child can take rice for the first time and other social ceremonies as the child grew and grew. When it was time for the boy to get married, his father selected a girl for him from a nearby village. Padmavati was the name of the bride, and she was equal to the bridegroom in every way. A few days after the marriage, Oja and his wife disappeared from the world. Haro was overwhelmed by the absence of his parents, and he spent a deal of money performing the funeral rites for his parents. Oja gradually became a respected scholar, in all shastras, and eventually got the title Hadai Pandit. He was a devout Vaishnava and a scholar in Vishnu Bhakti Tattva. His wife was also a devoted Vaishnavi, and the villagers came to respect the couple after their sincere worship of Lord Vishnu. The birth of Nityananda Prabhu. Hadai Pandit was very happy when he heard that his wife Padmavati was pregnant. She gave birth to a beautiful child on an auspicious day, and the religious-minded ladies of the village came to see the child and bless him. Each gave a different opinion of the child. One woman questioned whether the child was actually a boy or a doll made of golden butter. Another woman commented that she had never seen a child who could cool both the eyes and the heart. Every day a crowd gathered at the house of Hadai Pandit, Oja, and for the well-being of his son. Hadai Oja would distribute money to needy people and perform other kinds of charitable activities. Hadai Oja's son grew like a waxing moon and remained the center of pleasure for his parents. His mother loved him so much that she never put him down from her lap. At the time of his name-giving ceremony, someone suggested the name Rama, and someone else suggested the name Nityananda for the child. When he was old enough to crawl on the ground, people spontaneously called him Nitai and wanted to hold him on their laps. People were enchanted by his sweet smile and teeth, which looked like drops of milk. Nityananda became the center of life for the people of Ekachakra. The old man continued to tell the story to Janava, Ishvari, and her associates. He said that one day he felt disturbed for some reason, so he went to the house of Hadai simply to see Nitai. When he took the child on his lap, all his misery seemed to vanish. Hadai Pandit's affection for his son was boundless, and he would never go anywhere far from the child. Once he went to the house of a Yajamana, but returned immediately to his house to check on Nityananda. His mother used to smear the dust of Harija on his body to brighten his complexion, but the Harija seemed dull next to Nityananda's old golden color. She smeared scented oil on his head to cool it, but his body was cooler and sweeter than the oil itself. After giving him a bath, the mother would dry him with a soft piece of cloth. Then she would dress him in silk and advise him to play in the house. But Nityananda would ask her who he should play with, for he had no friends. Nityananda Prabhu's Vraja Leela and other avatar leelas. From that time on, many boys would come to Nityananda's house to play with him. Nityananda was a very gentle child. Gradually he grew to the age of 10, and with his friends he would play only those sports which Lord Krishna had played with his friends. He would choose a particular type of sport and then teach his friends. Sometimes they would want to reenact the pastime from the birth of Krishna. They would create a prison house where Krishna had been born and act out each of the events related to Krishna going to Gokula to live with Nanda. He also enacted other pastimes like birthday of Krishna in Nanda's house, various incidents which proved the love of Mother Yasoda for Krishna, the killing of Putana, the breaking of the cradle, the killing of the Trinavarta, etc. Sometimes he chose to act out the pastime where Mother Yasoda tied Krishna to a mortar, and later Krishna uprooted the Yamalarjuna trees. During each pastime, Nityananda would dress in different types of clothes and play just like Krishna had played in Gokula. He would assign the roars of Bakka and Ugga to his boyfriends, and then as Krishna, he would mockingly kill them. He would build a snake-shaped structure and put it in the water so they could reenact the pastimes of Kaliya. Just like Krishna, Nityananda would sometimes kill Danuka and Pralamba while playing in the grazing grounds. Just like Krishna, he would play in the pasturing ground, occasionally killing a demon like Risasura or rescuing Braja by lifting Govardhan. Sometimes they enacted the pastime of stealing the dresses of the gopis, and other times they pretended to kill Kamsa. But when they staged a drama of Krishna leaving Braja, where the gopis lamented pitifully, Nityananda also cried in hopeless despair. He also enacted the various pastimes that Krishna had performed in Mathura. Sometimes Nityananda taught his boyfriends the pastimes of Lord Ram. For his drama, he arranged everything as an exact replica of the places and incidents that have been described by Valmiki in the Ramayana. In the mood of Krishna, he played the role of Vamana, the incarnation of Vishnu, who tricked King Bali. He also played the role of Nrisimha and mockingly killed Hiranyakashipu. Whatever pastime Lord Krishna had performed to please his devotees were also performed by the son of Padmavati as he played in the village with his friends. The boys of Ekachakra liked to be with Nityananda and could not leave him for a moment. The parents of Ekachakra never forbid their children to associate with Nityananda. Rather, they would decorate them with ornaments and encourage them to take part in Nityananda's transcendental play. At the time for taking a sacred bed, Nityananda was just stepping into his adolescent period, and the village people were enchanted by his beauty. In his boyhood, he became a scholar like in all Shastras and Vyakaranas, and when he was 12, he looked like a boy of 15. Because of this, Hadai Pandit anxiously sought out a wife for Nitai. The Brahmin gentleman of Ekachakra agreed to the idea, and someone took the initiative to select a bride from a good Brahmin family. But they couldn't, none of them knew the future. Nityananda leaves home. One day a traveling Goswami came as a guest to the house of Hadai Pandit. Hadai Pandit offered him alms and they passed the night together discussing Lord Krishna. At that time of parting, the sannyasi requested Hadai Pandit to give him Nityananda, and Hadai was obliged to give him, thinking that there must be some divine plan behind the request. Because as a gentleman, when the guest came, he said, "My house is here. Is there anything you want? Just ask me." So he said, "I want your son." First he panicked, he almost died, but then he discussed it with his wife, and she said, "Well, you're a Brahmana, you have to keep your word." When the sannyasi left with Nityananda, Hadai fell on the ground unconscious, and his wife dropped just like a dead body. Even the villagers of Ekachakra became half dead when they heard the news. The friends of Nityananda fell on the ground and the entire village was lifeless in grief. People assembled at the house of Harai Oja and tried to revive the Pandit and his wife. But regaining their consciousness, the parents simply cried and called out the name of Nityananda. Their profuse tears would have melted hard stones. The younger brother of Nittai also lamented, wanting to know why the sannyasi had not also taken him. One Brahmana anxiously asked the crowd which direction the sannyasi had taken. He would catch up with them and fall at the feet of the sannyasi, begging him to release Nimai. After all, Nittai, the boy did not know how to cook or other household duties. The Brahmana would offer the sannyasi his own son who knew how to perform all types of service. And then he would bring Nityananda back. People searched in all directions for the sannyasi, but he was not to be found. The astrologers of Ekachakra met in a solitary place and discussed the prophecy that the astrologer who had predicted that Balaram would take birth in Ekachakra. They realized too late that the prophecy had been fulfilled when Nityananda took birth in the house of Hridaya Pandit. At the time of Nityananda's birth, all misfortunes vanished, said one man. There have been no famine, and the people are happy, and there is adequate rainfall. Now I understand why flowers were showered from heaven at the time of Nittai's birth. Only a god could possess such divine beauty. I have never seen the type of sports which Nittai used to enact with his friends. Once I saw Nittai in the role of a sannyasi. He wore a saffron-colored dhoti and held the danda in his one hand. And with a kamandala in the other. The children were all wearing Vaishnava clothes and danced joyfully with Nimai in the center. Now Nityananda had gone, had made the play its reality. Now he was going off with a sannyasi. Oh, I am an ignorant person, lamented another villager. How could I know that Rukmini Kumar and Nityananda were the same person? Rohini Kumar. There's a lot of typing here. We have no ability to understand the wish of the Lord, consoled another man. The arrival of the sannyasi was only a pretext under which the Lord would leave home, just as Balaram had visited all the holy places on foot, so also Nityananda would go on pilgrimage. This is not proper behavior, criticized another one. Nityananda should not have gone while his parents were still living. Then the poor man broke down and cried loudly while calling out the name of Nityananda. The lamentation of Hridaya Pandit. The residents of Ekachakra regularly visited the house of Hridaya Pandit to console him and his wife. 3 months had passed, but Hridaya and Padmavati had not taken a bite of food. They had gone mad by continuous crying. Were calling out the names of Nityananda. Villagers would offer them food, but they thought of us. But the thought of sustaining their lives increased their misery. In his madness, Adai would call out to Nittai, requesting him to come and sit on his lap. For he had not seen him in such a long time. Other times he would call Nittai to accompany him to the tank for a bath. Then he would call his son to walk in front of him as he walked in the field inspecting the ripeness of the rice. Then he would call Nittai to accompany him to the market to buy new clothes and other playthings. He would call his son to come and eat the prasad of Vishnu, telling him that his mother was waiting. He would ask Nittai to take part in a debate on Shastra with other students of the Pandit. Occasionally, he would call his wife in great excitement to come and see that Nityananda was coming down the road. The sannyasi Thakur had kindly returned their son. In this way, the parents of Nityananda pass their day under the time, until the time of death. After their disappearance, the friends of Nishananda left Ekachakra, and the villagers also moved to other places without telling anyone where they were going. Across the river, Yavana had built a village in his own name, and a small population had developed there. In the passing of time, Ekachakra had become simply ruins. It's still a very small place, Ekachakra. All mud houses. There's no guest house there either, except this one. Very little going on there.
But it's great.
Nishananda conscious. They have a lot of cows, so many cows. The old Brahmin continued to tell Janava, Ishwari, and the Vaishnavas that only he and a few others remained in Ekachakra because of the memory of Nishananda. Although he was an old man and could not walk properly, he would nevertheless leave his home each day and wander in the streets and fields of Ekachakra to visit the places where Nishananda used to play. Just in the shadow of his peepal tree, Nishananda and his friends would eat and play. Providence is cruel, for I have lived this long life only with my memories of Nishananda. I simply hope that one day I would see him again, but he has never returned to Ekachakra. I simply pray to be reborn in Ekachakra, life after life. On the hope of seeing my Nishananda, at the end of each day, let me simply call the name of Nitai-chan. The old Brahmin broke down in bitter sobbing and called out the name of Nitai. Sri Janava and others left their emotions unchecked, and tears rolled like rivers from their eyes. Krishnadas Pandit bowed again and again at the feet of the Brahmana. The Brahmana guides him through Ekachakra. The Vaishnavas assembly to guide them through Ekachakra. He took them first to the house of Hadai Pandit, but he could not describe the house, for he is choked up with emotion. Without saying anything, he left the assembly and returned to his own home, crying bitterly. Sri Ishwari did not stop him, but with heavy hearts, the Vaishnavas entered the house of Hadai Pandit. Although the house was simply ruins, the devotees felt a strong attraction for it. They decided to pass the night in the house performing Sankirtan. Lamentation of Janava Devi. Janava Devi could not sleep that night. Sitting in a lonely place, she contemplated her misfortune that she could not see her father-in-law and mother-in-law. She could not enjoy the happiness of her husband's house. By the wish of the Lord, she fell asleep, and in her dream she envisioned the big town of Ekachakra. The beauty of the village was enchanting, and the golden houses seemed to have been built by Vishwakarma himself. The house of Hadai Pandit was full of attendants. The house of Hadai Pandit was full of attendants, and in the midst of their riches and grandeur, Hadai Pandit and Padmavati showered their affection on Nishananda. They also showed great affection for Vasudeva, the two wives, of Nishananda. Janavin, the daughter of Suryadas, was respected by the entire world, yet she was very happy to receive the affection of her father-in-law. Sri Janava was truly enjoying herself, but then the dream faded and she awoke. Again she slept that night. In her dream she saw the garden on the bank of the river in Ekachakra. The trees in the garden under one tree was a beautiful throne made of jewels. Many ladies dressed in gorgeous clothes and covered in jewels stood as attendants around the throne. They held the talibrinta and chamara, talis of sandal, chua, scented water and flower garlands. Looking at like Kandapa, Sri Nityananda was seated on that ornamental throne, and with a sweet smile on his face, he was... It's a dream. But when you dream about Krishna, it's real. Shri Vasudha and Janava were sitting on his left and right sides and were each beautiful as Rati and the goddess of beauty. They were happily chewing betel leaves and were putting betel leaves into his mouth. They were happily chewing betel leaves and putting leaves, and he would return his chewed betel leaves to his wife while the lady attendants continuously offered chow, sandal, and flower garlands. From his own body, Nityananda would give the sandal paste and chew it to his wives and would embrace them lovingly. He gave them his garlands and a betel close beside them. Sri Ishwari was dreaming so happily that when she awoke from her sleep, she felt quite disappointed. She spoke briefly about the dream to some of the associates, but she could not settle her mind in order to return to Ekachakra. Sri Nityananda ki jai.